So we'll move a little bit on the GBI topic, and I will present on behalf of my colleagues Gary, Bish, and also the colleagues in the national systems in Central America that have been working with us in this network. Let's see. A little bit about the MACE program, CIMIT, just for those that are not familiar. We have a big role in conservation of genetic resources, largest public provider of MACE germplasm, developing new tools and breeding methods that could be used by national programs and small, medium seed companies. A major role is capacity building. Also coordinating research projects addressing, you know, poverty, food security, and food safety issues, especially in the trying to link public and private sectors. Also socioeconomic analysis as a basis for policy development. And then we try to provide some science, you know, in genetics, physiology, biometrics, and pathology. I think we can make it, yeah, it's not the full page, yeah.
Is this the one?
Right here. Right. Yeah, plus there. Yeah. Okay, no.
Sorry.
Go back a little bit. Oops, yeah. This is a PDF, that's why, yeah. Okay. Tim Beach talked a little bit already about the locations we have across the world. So basically 17 offices in 40 countries, and we're partnering with the different institutions, universities, private sector, and NGOs, farmers associations. Oops, sorry. And then we look at this map, the undernourished people, you know, we can see where we are working in Africa, you know, Eastern Africa, and then South Africa, and then Central America, and Southeast Asia. So you can see where most of the undernourished people are located. So, and also we look at poverty. We see overlaps, you know, here in Central America, parts of South America, and basically here again in Africa, Western and Southern Eastern Africa. And then again, if we look at maize consumption rates in Central America, they're very high. You can see here these four countries, Guatemala, Honduras, Salvador, they have more than 40 kilograms per year per person. And Mexico is also, you know, huge consumption. Sometimes we call, you know, Mesoamerica, including Mexico and Central America. So we try this as a whole region. Now, what's our role in this region? We try to collaborate with the national programs, you know, and private sector, trying to build bridges to among those two. And we have a testing network for evaluation and releasing of OPVs and hybrids. And also an important role is to try, you know, to share our knowledge and capacity building there with the national groups. In that scenario, so for variety releases, we see, you know, that in some of these countries, the national release agencies, they treat, you know, each country separately and give little or no consideration to data from other neighboring countries. So this is a very small country. So sometimes, you know, the environmental conditions are not that different. So we can show later in the data. And also the natural resources, you know, are limited. In general, they're very small programs and not much data. So release decisions are made based on low precision results from very few locations in each country. And however, we are using CIMIT and multinational companies especially are using this region or treating the region as a single target population of environments, okay? Somehow we can move here faster. So the hypothesis we want to test is that if genotype-by-country interaction is small, hybrid release and recommendation decisions in each country will be more accurate if made on the basis of trials conducted at many locations across the region, rather than data on a few trials within each country. Okay? So that's the rationale. So to test the hypothesis, we use unyield data from advanced CIMID-coordinated trials conducted in 2 years. And we use a model that partitioned the G by E interaction into genotype by country and genotype by location within country. Okay, two components. And then also the environment, we have, then again, different locations within each country. Okay? Usually we treat this, as environments. We put all this together. But now in this model, we're separating country location within country. And then again, the interaction, genotype by country and genotype by location within country. So basically, that's to test the hypothesis. And also, again, we look at the genetic correlations among hybrid means in the different countries. And also with the genetic correlations among each country and the whole region. This is the data we use for different trials. This is the amount of entries, the number of entries, and then the number of locations in the different countries. Of course, this is unbalanced because, some countries we had two locations, for some countries we have four locations. So again, we look at the variance components using REML. Basically, then we have genotypes, countries, location within country, and then the interaction and the residual variance in the four different trials. Then basically what we can see here, we have location within country significance, the variance components, and then the genotype by country. In general, we didn't have any significance there. And we can see that for instance, here, the location within country component is usually high, and then the genotype by location within country is at least 2 times greater than the genotype by country interaction. Okay? So that's what we were trying to see. In general, sometimes even 5 times greater here for this trial, the variance or G by location within country. And again, the variance for the residual is at least 3 times greater than the genotype by country. And the sorry, that the genotype by location within country. So again, what we can see here is that the two factors that are affecting the precision of the trials within the region are these two. So the genotype by location within country, and also the residuals, the plot residuals that we have. So that's one of the points we're trying to see. And then also the genetic correlations, we can see, in the very high among hybrid means for this trial, for example, Honduras, Salvador, Guatemala. Even including Mexico, we did the exercise to include Mexico and see how the genetic correlations were. And we can see they're also high and significant with the Central American countries. If we look at another trial, again, this is the yellow hybrids. We can see again a high genetic correlation among hybrid means for the four countries. And again, Mexico. Of course, you have some exceptions like Nicaragua and Mexico. They have very good correlation for this specific trial and this year. But in general, we can see a good correlation. And again, another trial. This trial is a little bit like Nicaragua and Guatemala, no correlation. But in general, again, we can see there is good genetic correlation among the countries. And in this another trial, different one. Again, Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador, and very high correlation in Mexico. So, and then we look at the trying to predict the selection response if we use, individual countries, or we use the region, the whole region. And we use this model developed by Atlin and others in 2000, where we have to calculate the heritability in each country and then the heritability in the whole region. And then we can use the correlated response to look at how you can predict the selection, the response. And then we can see in general, we have an advantage, at least 10%, gain, selection gain by selecting on the region, okay, using data, regional data, than selecting on the country only. Of course, this is highly influenced by the genetic correlation existing for among the country and the region, and also on the heritability. You see, for instance, Costa Rica is for this case two trials, and the heritability is kind of low. So you have more using the regional data. You have more gain. So again, this is showing us that yeah, it looks like the region. I mean, the whole region can be treated as one, including Mexico. And sometimes we can go up to even Costa Rica and Panama. So we can say Mesoamerica, so all Central America, plus especially the Southeast Mexico, that is humid tropics. So it would be very similar. Of course, we cannot go to the North Mexico and the Central Highlands. That's a different story. But at least for the Southeast Mexico and Central America, this data shows. And again, using this strategy, we have been able to identify some hybrids that are performing well in the regional trials and comparable to commercial hybrids. And the regional commercial check, it's now down. So we have products that are as at least 1 ton. The commercial hybrids are 1.5 tons higher than the regional commercial check that has been developed, basically using the information from each particular country. And again, we have some new hybrids coming on the pipeline that are even superior to the best commercial checks, and we'll be using this strategy that looking at the whole region as a single target population of environments. So the conclusion is that we should expect greater selection gains in each country by treating the region as a single target population of environments. The best commercial and CMIT hybrids outyielded the regional public sector check hybrid by at least 1 ton per hectare. So that means that those public programs are being kind of behind for a while. So we have to try to help them a little bit to increase this yield potential that is very low. So the last conclusion is integrated breeding and testing programs for the region are developing broadly adapted hybrids, sometimes with the potential to double the yields, but if seed and fertilizer are made available to smallholders. That's an issue that is very important in many regions, developing countries, that technology is there, but sometimes it's not available or affordable for the smallholders. That's all we have. Yeah, we're just starting to use this. We're going to look into more detail, regionalization and looking at the environmental data. So Yeah, in the future we're going to do that. Yeah, we haven't done it, but we're thinking about it.
If semi-direct is a hybrid, which is good in 5 countries, do you expect each country to release it because each country wants to have their own name, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the question is that if we identify a hybrid that is good for the whole region, if each country will want to release it individually. That's the question?
The national programs.
The national programs, yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah, the materials are public. I mean, it could be released in different countries with a different name even. But the thing is that we need the precision, you know, in identifying. That's the issue here. We wanted to, treat the region as a whole, so we have more precision in identification of the good hybrids. So if we have only 2 locations, sometimes, you know, the national systems, they only have 3-4 locations in the whole country, and for the release decisions, they only use that data. So the precision is very low. And then when you put them in competition with the, you know, commercial hybrids, they don't compete.
Okay, there are no further questions. I want to thank all the speakers this morning. I don't know if anybody's in the audience, but it has been a very interesting session. Thank you.